This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Are you ready for the daily check-in? We've got about 8 minutes before we start. So I thought we would, you know, just wait for people to tune in by... if you come in later on, you can fast forward about 8 minutes. But I thought we would hang out and give some shout out to some kids. So if you have kids at home who are watching this with you and you would like me to call out their names and they'll get all excited and glee with joy, then let's do that, inshallah ta'ala. The first shout out is for Amani and Iman, children of Sumaya. Welcome, Amani and Iman. Alaykum as-salam, Asma. I hope you're doing well. We've got Salma. Salma, everybody's asked me where I am, and for security reasons, I don't tell anybody where I'm at. Fadi, welcome, Fadi. We've got Fartun in Nairobi. Wa alaykum as-salam. We've got Heidi in Denmark, I believe, yeah. Sabine, wa alaykum as-salam. Lisa Hash, wa alaykum as-salam. Maria in Dhahran. All right, there we go. Shout out for my daughter Rania and another one, my son Laith Asif. This is a shout out for Laith and his daughter Rania and his son Laith. How are you guys doing? Be kind to your father and mother during this time. They're working hard. For Lisa Hash, we got Musa in Phoenix, Arizona. Assalamu alaikum, Musa. How are you doing? Hope you're doing well. Treat your mom good. Assalamu alaikum, Carol, Montreal, Mariam in Switzerland with the kids. Welcome. And Esma says, shout out, salam, for Ilya Fatima. How are you doing, Ilya Fatima? Your mom tells everybody that she's the number one fan of Visionaire. Hi, Ilya Fatima. Assalamu alaikum. Nadia Abu Snena. I was thinking, I'm like, where is the Abu Snena people? Why are they not tuning in? We've got Nadia Abu Snena, the Yusuf and Zaina. How are you doing, Yusuf and Zaina? Assalamu alaikum. Red Cherry says, Ishaq in France. All right, we got Ishaq in France. How are you doing, Ishaq? I would try doing a French accent, but I'm really bad at French accents. Karima in Germany. Alaykum assalam, Karima. We've got Zash, Sumaya, Hafsa, and Zaid. All right, Zash, assalamu alaikum, Zaid, and Hafsa, and Sumaya. Hope you're doing well. Treat your parents good. We've got Samha in Sri Lanka. Alaykum assalam. Fadi, wa alaikum assalam. Hanuta, Salami Abu Bakr says, shout out to Iman, Hanif, Yazid, and Muhsin. Wa alaikum assalam. Hey, Iman, Hanif, and Muhsin, hope you're doing well. Aisha in Kenya. We got Maria Iqbal. Shout out to Isa and Husna. Hey, assalamu alaikum, Isa and Husna, how are you doing? And Basira, this is a cool one. Call out my husband's name, Dr. Nadeem Aslam. Dr. Nadeem Aslam. Everybody's like, okay, get started with the thing. Farjana is saying, where are you, Sheikh? Are you in Canada? Does this look like Canada? No. But for security reasons, I do not share with people my location in case there's a stalker that shows up behind me while I'm doing this and then just, does a Jason move on me? And it's captured live on camera. Heidi says, shout out to Muhammad, the crazy one here with me. I think everybody has some crazy kids in their house these days. Hey, Muhammad, how are you doing? How are you doing, Muhammad? Son of Heidi. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad. Stay safe, inshallah. Aliya. Ayla. Ilya, I said Ilya. Hey, Muhammad, how are you doing? Been a long time for sure. Where are you these days? It's been too long. It's been like what? Like how many years? 8 years? 10 years? Allah Hafiz. Zainab, living in Doha was an answer to Dream Doha 4 years ago. Alhamdulillah. Nadia says, busy with our kids, times have changed. Sumaya in Austin, Texas. Su Ilyas, we're going to get started in 1 minute from UAE. May Allah protect you from stalkers. Ameen. I once read a book on cybercrime, and because of that, you know, telling people your location or when you're traveling, this is one of the things. If you're traveling, nobody's traveling these days, but if somebody was traveling and they were posting, hey, I'm in such and such a place, then stalkers could be like, oh, so you're not home, so let's go rob your house. So, stuff like that. Salma Nashia in Pennsylvania. Alaikum assalam. Asma, welcome. Tuning in. Jazakallah khairan. We're getting started in 1 minute. 1 minute. There's a guy who normally parks his car near this place, and he sits in his car and he leaves the car on, I guess for the air conditioning or something. And he's been doing it the past few days. And I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would go away, park somewhere else. So alhamdulillah, he's not here tonight. But then I thought, what if he's homeless? What if I'm doing this late at night and he doesn't have anywhere to go? So then I thought, yeah, I want him to go somewhere else. I still want that. But maybe I should give him some money to help him out. Help out a brother. Alright, let's get started. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man wala amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning, Vietnam! I want to see how loud I can say it without attracting any attention. Okay, so far nobody's looking at me. Okay. So today, I want to take you to Medina. So alhamdulillah, I have a good friend that I've known him before he went to Medina. I knew him, you know, when he got accepted to Medina, alhamdulillah. And now recently he's actually completed his PhD from Medina University. And mashallah, tabarakallah, he does, or he's in charge. He's not Saudi, but he's in charge of managing the translation of the khutbah at Masjid An-Nabawi. He's in charge of managing the translation of the khutbahs at Masjid An-Nabawi. So, as you know, I think in October, I was there in Mecca and Medina. And on Friday, he's like, look, I can't hang out with you guys, Muhammad and some other brothers, because I have to, you know, do the translation for the khutbah tomorrow. And I'm like, whatever, forget it. I didn't know what masjid he was talking about. I thought it's just some local masjid. I'm like, come hang out with us. And then I found out, no, he's doing the translation for the khutbah of Masjid An-Nabawi. So, mashallah, tabarakallah, Allah yahfadhum. So when he was doing that, when we were going for the Jummah khutbah, I messaged him and I said, bro, we need some box seats. We need you to hook us up with some box seats at Masjid An-Nabawi. Like the places where you could look, you know, you're in a balcony up somewhere high and you can see everybody praying, because whoever's doing the translation has to be in a really cool place. Well, we didn't hear from him and the khutbah was over and we were kind of joking. But then he said after the Jummah khutbah, he said that, you know, if you had told me earlier, I would have hooked you up with that. And we're like, dang, this guy's got hookups for box seats for the Jummah khutbah in Masjid An-Nabawi. So today he sent me a video, the video of the khutbah in Masjid An-Nabawi in Medina. And you may have seen it, and it's incredibly emotional because the entire masjid is empty. And the surrounding courtyard is empty, and only the imam and a few of the other imams actually are the only ones in attendance. You're talking about, you know, maybe there's 40 people, I think, in total, something like that. They were that were there in Masjid Nabawi, Masjid Nabawi that can have hundreds of thousands of people come to pray in the masjid. There was only 40 people there. And you may have heard the adhan. The muezzin was crying in the adhan. The salahi was crying. And it was a very emotional moment. And normally I want to do these check-ins and be, you know, upbeat and tell you guys, you know, hey, it's all right. It's all right. But today there are ups and downs. And today is one. I'm not saying it's a down, but I just I'd like to share some of the thoughts that I have. Human be and the khutbah was about the situation that we're in, obviously. And inshallah, after this, you can actually go on my page. There's about 2 minutes from the khutbah that are extremely emotional, where the imam talks about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what this virus has been able to do, making the strong person weak, making the arrogant person that like this has, you know, closed things. It's incredible. You know, the virus is incredibly powerful. There's a question somebody posted on Facebook a few days ago, and I was kind of offended by it. And they posted this thing that basically said, the virus is a punishment of Allah. Ask yourself, what have you done? And, you know, you're the one who's responsible for this. What did you not speak up on? What did you not comment? What social project were you not? I was very offended by this. And I'll tell you why I was offended by this. Because number one, nobody knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's intentions. So nobody can say that Allah did this because of that. Or Allah's intentions are that. And people say this online with... as if they have like, oh, Allah told me this was his intention and I'm going around and telling everybody, like I'm a prophet going around telling people what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's intentions. Nobody knows Allah's intentions, and following that train of thought is not going to get you to good places. Because if you don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's intentions, then you cannot go around, you can't find that out. It's not like, hey, if I search it up a little bit, then I'll know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's intentions for these situations. Number two, and that is that kind of attitude where somebody says, you know, everybody's responsible, everybody's horrible, the world is being punished, that kind of stuff. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to people with that kind of an attitude, saying, "Man qala halaka an-nas fa huwa ahlakahum." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever says that all the people are destroyed, he is the most destroyed of all those people." And so it's not that everybody is like all human beings are bad. That kind of attitude is very bad to have. That attitude of everybody is horrible. And many times in my life, I've come across people with that kind of attitude, and I just don't like to be around people with that kind of attitude and that kind of negative energy. And you'll see, subhanAllah, even the angels, When Allah said he was going to create human beings, a vicegerent, Khalifa fil ard, the angels said, "Ataj'alu fiha man yufsidu fiha wa yasfiku ad-dima." Are you going to place therein a creation that's going to cause mischief and shed blood? And Allah, so the angels are basically saying to Allah, all the creations are going to be like this. They're all going to be bad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qala inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun." I know what you don't know. And so again, I go back to, somebody can say, this is what Allah's intentions are not, or this is a political situation, and this is Allah's intention. You don't know. Nobody can say things like that. The third thing is, when you look at hadith that speak about plague, yes? When it speaks about plague, the plague actually is... in the hadith, it says that the plague is a mercy for the believers. The plague is a mercy for the believers. So even if that was the case, so even if somebody said, oh, it's a punishment, then if somebody fell ill, it would be a mercy for the believers in such a situation, okay? And on, you have to realize as well that the plagues that happened before, they happened at the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. These are the best people that walked this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba. They happened at the time of the Sahaba, and many of many of the Sahaba died in the plague. And they were the best people. And so again, this idea that it's just a punishment, everybody's being punished and so on, it's not true. It's not true. You can't just say that. You can't just say everybody's destroyed. قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Now having said all that, it doesn't mean that we approach this like, oh, wash your hands and everything's done. Like, oh, we washed our hands and khalas. Like, oh, the situation is resolved. Because if a calamity befalls a person, and this is definitely one of the biggest calamities to happen in our generation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when that don't they see that there that a fitna comes upon them, مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْن, that a fitna happens every year, فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْن. So Allah says that a big test comes on the people every year, once or twice, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. And even though those tests come, they don't repent to Allah and they don't remember. They don't turn back to Allah, they don't repent to Allah, and they don't remember. So we're not talking about punishment or not punishment. That's not the issue. The issue is, if we're going through a test, we always need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of what's the meaning and man's search for meaning and trying to understand intentions. That's not the journey that we're taking, but we're always going to go back. And I'll say, and this is what the topic of today's session is, and that is, we're going to need bigger istighfar. We're going to need bigger istighfar. We're really going to need to buckle down and start doing more tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're really going to buckle down and say, hey, what are the sins that I've got in my life that I need to be repenting from and changing my ways? How can I be more merciful with my family members and with other people? How can I contribute and to other people and share from the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me? We have to keep doing that. And when I see that everybody's sharing how to fight the virus, and they're saying, of course, and we're all following this, the washing the hands and social distancing. But what I'm not hearing is that part of that list has to be tawbah and istighfar and tadhakkur. Tawbah, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and istighfar. I have, in multiple times in my life, I've been in life and death situations. Multiple times, not once, not twice, but multiple times. One of the times, I very often mention it, about being in an airplane that was like almost going to crash. In the crane situation in Mecca, when the crane collapsed at the Kaaba, I was about like 300 meters away from that crane when it collapsed. And I was actually at the Kaaba telling people to go in the opposite direction from the Tawaf, because I heard the sound. I didn't know what it was. It sounded like a thunderclap. And I was telling people to go opposite the direction. And people were arguing with me. They're like, no, Tawaf is this direction. I'm like, there's a sound coming from that. A wall might collapse. We don't know what it is. So go away. You know, go into the other direction. So I've been in these life and death situations. And I wanted to tell you guys that in times of life and death situations, you may have been in some yourself, you're not thinking about some academic discussion like, why did Allah send us this, why did Allah send us this? You're not thinking that. What you're thinking is repenting to Allah right here, right now. That's what you're thinking about. You're not worried about the meaning of why did this happen and who's to blame for this and such. Your focus in those times is going to be on repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turning back. And that's what I wish that we can get in our minds, just like we're getting the message that we need to be staying home, and we're getting the message that we need to be, you know, minimizing interactions with other people. We're getting the message that we need to wash our hands. I think we also need to get the message that we need to do bigger tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to reconnect with our Salah at a higher level. We need to reconnect our hearts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand that isolation for the believer is i'tikaf. Isolation for the believer is i'tikaf. Like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that, you know, what can my enemies do to me? That if they isolate me, then it'll be i'tikaf. And we're in isolation now. And so take it as an opportunity to be more merciful with your family members, to do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to read more Quran, to pay more attention in salah. You're not going anywhere. Take your time and embrace it. Jazakallah khair. And these are the words that I wanted to share with you. I know I was hoping I would come on these sessions and be like upbeat and all of this stuff, but it's a message that is coming from my heart. At the last moment, I wanted to change the topic because I thought it might be a little too heavy for you guys, but hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, you benefited from it. It came from the heart. And yeah. What are your thoughts? What do you think? Ishfi. It takes about 30 seconds for you guys to hear that I'm done, so I'll wait like 30 seconds. If you guys can press the, well, it's kind of late for pressing the share button. Thanks a lot. But alhamdulillah, we had a good crowd today. Lisa said, Jazakallah khairan, we needed to hear this. Sadia, Jazakallah khairan, a great reminder, Jazakumullah khairan. You know, I didn't want to change the topic, something that wasn't coming from my heart, and just tell you kind of like, oh, this is something else. I wanted to be real with you guys. As Matt said, she shared it as a watch party. Jazakallah khairan. Alora says, you are right. We aren't concerned enough with Toba. Yep. And that's what scares me. It scares me for myself, not for other people, but for my own self. We need to be more concerned. For sure. Huriya says, how should we increase our iman? Huriya, we've spoken about this in the past sessions. I spoke about doing istighfar, like doing astaghfirullah 100 times a day. I spoke about shukr, doing your shukr and being thankful, focusing on what you have, what you don't have. We spoke about salah and how to increase your concentration, such as, you know, understanding what you're saying, focusing on calming down and slowing down and praying at the beginning time. So those are ways that you can increase your iman during these times, and for sure asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you, Maryam. All right, folks, tomorrow at this same time, we are going to be having our broadcast online for free, our Dua versus COVID-19. It's a visionary-esque type of event where inshallah ta'ala we'll be connecting ourselves with dua, we will be connecting ourselves with community, we will be connecting ourselves with hope. And even I'm looking forward to designing some duas focused on this time that we're in. And inshallah ta'ala, late night when I'm going for walks and going for jogs, I would like to reflect on these duas that we're going to be designing tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, and be able to, you know, as soon as I wake up, as soon as, you know, go for a walk, stuff like that, to remember and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these things. So check it out. The link is visionaireramadan.com/community, visionaireramadan.com/community, and it's a free event. You just need to register so you can be part of the Facebook group, and it's going to be broadcasted from the Facebook group. It'll be a 2-hour event, Facebook Live. And yeah, and when you register, obviously you'll be getting the reminders and such. All right, Jazakallah khair, and tell your friends about it. There's only 24 hours before that goes live. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.